We're standing with a beautiful view of the green dumpster in downtown Austin.
We found the most epic
we thought the churchyard, the churchyard was a little much for us. That's we really right. needed to step down a little bit. It's 2 in the morning. It's Wednesday. It's sort of the first night of South by Southwest.
We all got here yesterday, but really, people, this is as lucid as we get.
and the we is Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, I'm Bob Boylan. Ann Powers was, I think, stricken by cold.
It was waylaid.
Waylaid. And
hopefully she'll be with us tomorrow.
Yeah, you bet. We do hope that. I said this is sort of the first night of South by Southwest, but we all did arrive yesterday. And I felt that Tuesday is easily the beginning of South by Southwest.
I feel like Tuesday is the new Wednesday.
Yes.
As the jet was landing, Bob had kicked open the emergency door and was tumbling out onto the tarmac and already running off, running down the runway with his bag in hand to go see the first show before another minute was wasted sitting right. on the plane.
I packed in 13 bands last night.
That's insane.
Wow. I did.
That is impressive.
13 yeah. bands.
So best thing you saw?
The best thing I liked Sun Ra.
Okay,
you know
I wanted
that
to see them and missed them.
Terrifically trance-inducing music was. They were brilliant.
They're like a psychedelic rock band.
Yeah, a duo, guy girl duo, and it just it starts off slow and builds, and you know there's no melody, there's no song structure, and it was fine with me.
Now, do you find not to be all well? Do you find Mr. Boylan? Do you find
I think you should do that voice for a while?
Do you find
until it hurts?
Robin has asked that I not. But do you find because of the kind of jumping from show to show to show in very rapid succession, very short attention span, do you find that sort of, that kind of build is a little bit harder to achieve? Coming at it from a listener, that it's harder to engage with music that is not instantly structured.
Well, I think the one thing I think we all glean from having seen and heard so much music is that you infer a little bit
yeah.
out of the little that you do see. It's like tasting a little bit of a meal. You know the rest of this meal is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about them. I'll walk away. I'll see a whole concert by them sometime.
Nice.
I saw 15-20 minutes, so that's which is
huge for me. Here.
That is crazy.
So I saw Apparat today, and it was an amazing set. It might have even with all we did some great shows tonight on our showcase, and we'll talk about those in a second. But I think Apparat may have been the highlight for me. And yeah, you're like 2 or 3 songs. You're like, I gotta go, and you loved it. And that I mean,
I did. I totally loved them, and they were on my top 10 list for 2011, and I'd never seen them before, and they came all the way from Germany.
And I just thought, how could you leave this? This is so amazing. But, you know, you ended up seeing 10 times.
See, and I found out, I actually skipped Apparat in part because, one, I knew you guys were going to be there. And there's a certain amount, there's nothing more discouraging than, like, I've got this amazing discovery that I'm going to be able to talk about that no one will have heard. And then Bob's there. Also, Apparat ended up playing at the same time as Jonathan Myberg from Shearwater, whom I've only seen like 8 times. But I think that sort of brings up the point of what I call spiritual obligations, where there are certain artists where if you have a chance to see them, you just will kick yourself if you miss any given opportunity. And so I
saw Jonathan play his first few songs and then ran over to Apparat after.
Good call.
That,
you know. I meant to do that and got swept up.
And I'm going to break my own rule this year. In fact, I've already done it. Which
your,
is
your
not
rule
to,
being?
Not to see a band I've seen before.
Yeah.
And I went and saw Caveman today because I really like Caveman. And they were terrific. I saw them last night. I'm going to see Patrick Watson, I know, this week.
I love him.
All new material.
Never seen him.
I cannot wait to see him tomorrow
at
the church.
He is really great live.
Yeah.
There's Tom Waits buried in that pop music when you see him. He is a performer, magnificent performer.
Can't wait for that one tomorrow.
One of the best things that I saw, last night on the show, I talked about this band Quiet Company from Austin. Really, really nice, punchy pop rock band. But I jumped out of it. I got a text from Bob Boylan. Reminding me that the Taiwanese band, truck going by. Reminding me that the Taiwanese band Silver Bus, which I had put on the Austin 100 and praised in various settings on NPR, were playing, and that I should run out and see it. So I jumped out of Quiet Company, got into the venue in time to see this line of NPR people against the wall. It was like Bob and Laura Seidel and. and you know, these smiling faces of my beloved colleagues, just as they kicked into the song "Those Forgotten" that I got so hooked on, and the single best like one song bite that I've had at South by Southwest so far.
Me too. Yeah, I love them terrifically.
Silver Bus, three really young guys.
Yeah, 12, 13, and 8. and 8.
Probably not technically
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was a band where I thought they must have 8 guitarists, and they had 1.
Okay. Yeah. I saw this singer from Greenland was the first person I saw.
Oh, yeah, I saw
this
her last
Niamh Nielsen. You've seen her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really... Niamh. It's N-I-V-E.
Yeah, I believe it's Niamh Nielsen. I don't know for sure. Did she trot out a kazoo?
She didn't. She had a uke. She had some other instruments. The guitarist played a little cigarette box-sized amplifier, and they were fantastic. I want to see more of her. But seeing, like, a German band, someone from Greenland, you know, that's...
Taiwan.
But I did see a couple of things that I was looking forward to seeing. Beef versus Moth. Do you remember we put them on the show?
Yeah,
this crazy sort of jazzy rock band, and they were fantastic. They were an awesome bass band. I didn't remember that to be true. Let's see. I went and saw Mr. Gnome.
Oh yeah.
Desperately looking forward.
You
to
You will
seeing
love
Mr. Gnome.
And Mrs. Gnome. Their duo, a woman, a guitar player, fierce singer, and a great drummer. I think, and I saw Polisa, who we have coming up on our bill tomorrow, and honestly, I was disappointed by the album as an album. I like song here, song there, but live, she stole the show. She was really good.
Does she have multiple drummers?
2 drummers,
I see that a lot.
Yeah.
All the different, Apparat had a full band, he had a real drummer, you know, guitarist, bass, keys. And it was huge.
Yeah, and Caveman used, well, not 2 full drummers, but 2 floor toms and a real drummer.
And Typhoon played, I saw them a little bit earlier today, and they had 2 drummers, 2 drum kits facing each other, 2 string players, 2 horn players. They had 10 people in that band.
Well Robin, you saw the band My Name is John Michael from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And you were not as taken with them as I was, but I definitely found going in, is it fairly standard, you know, pop rock kind of sound, but with this amazing horn section behind it, which just gave it this incredible pop.
They were, 3 horn, a trumpet, a trombone, and then I don't know what some sort of sousaphone or something.
3 horns.
3 horns, and they were amazing. Yeah. They were really amazing, but I thought it was the most unnecessarily loud band I've ever heard in my life. It was so loud.
Look at Grandpa.
It was just like...
You've never seen Dinosaur Jr., have you?
I have, actually.
He said unnecessarily.
Loud. They did not need to be that loud.
A few quick hits from today. Hospitality.
Can't wait to see that.
Poor Robin has seen so little.
Well,
been working
I
so
was going to see last night... Black Books.
I didn't see you anywhere last night.
I wanted
night.
To see Bear in Heaven. I was going to see Miniature Tigers, Yellow Ostrich. Then I was going to head over for Peanut Butter Wolf before then hitting Motel Beds, Moto Pony.
So what did you wind up
seeing? Not in the Face. So I got back from... I had a dinner.
Which is the rare moment
rare
for
moment.
All of
it's
us.
The only chance to have a real dinner. It's Tuesday night. Had a dinner. Went back to the hotel. It was like 8 o'clock. I said, I've got an hour until I'm supposed to go out again. I'm
famous
just
last
shut
words,
my
I've
eyes
got an
just
hour.
For a sec. I woke up in my clothes at about 6 o'clock this morning. I missed everything.
Hang on a second.
Slept through
What's
it
that?
All.
Is this where the Google lot is?
The Google lot.
I think that's at 9th and...
Trinity.
Run 9th.
So
yeah,
ninth
probably,
Trinity, so
probably another block.
Who'd you see tonight?
Who did I see tonight? Well, we saw the OCs. We saw Natural Child. We saw Bare Wires. We saw Colts over there.
How was Colts?
They were good. They were good.
Favorite?
I don't know. I'd say I like the OCs a little better.
Good.
Yeah, the OCs were good. They put on a great show today.
I haven't seen them yet. Sweet.
Good. Check them out.
All right.
Yeah, it was that it was.
And you woke up.
And I realized maybe having a kid, I'm a little more sleep deprived than I thought I was. I had to go to Austin to catch up on my.
It's the first time in 4 months that you had a full night's sleep.
It literally is. So. But now I'm all cut. I've got enough to get me power through the next 4 days. So.
Okay, so Hospitality.
Definitely seen them.
Wonderful, wonderful pop band. Incredibly charming singer. What I found with them is I'm not in love with that band, but I like them so much.
Hospitality, I find I'm humming their songs all afternoon.
So that's what I think they've got. They are a great song team. Her voice serves the songs, but in a live setting, when she got out of that range that she sings a lot of the songs in, it didn't work. She's going to grow into the songs that they've written. And that's another thing you see at South by Southwest is our bands that are young.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We forgive.
But
we
thought they sounded really sharp and really smart.
And the hardest thing to a good band is writing a song. Yeah. They've got that down. They've got that down really well.
Well, you talk about an artist growing into their sound and finding their voice. It seems like a perfect chance to mention, for me, I think, Sharon Van Etten.
Oh, really?
Why don't you hold the recorder? Steve and I are going to walk down the street when you're done.
I know both of you are going to agree. Now, we started off with Fiona Apple, and we'll talk about her in a second, but our live webcast started with Sharon's set, and she's played electric guitar before, but not like tonight, where it was just this huge, bold sound. And I see her on stage now, and she just seems like a force. Where just 2 years ago, we were seeing her at the church up here, and she's just shyly, you know.
But I felt when we talked to her after the show, and even just her personal bearing has grown in confidence, you know, to where she's got the bearing of a rock star.
I said to her, "Could you imagine 3-4 years ago doing what you did today?" And she looked at me like, "You've got to be kidding. There's no way I could have ever thought I'd have." Sort of the confidence or the sort of music that would work in front of a few thousand people. Yeah. And her music worked really well. It was the best I'd ever heard or seen her.
Yeah.
Even Sasquatch, you know, last year, the growth is enormous.
Yeah.
She's such a talent. Don't you think, Robin?
She's pretty good.
I'm so glad. Bob, I'm so glad that you've been championing Sharon Van Etten.
All these years.
Robin is, over Robin's objections.
Yeah. So let's... talk about Fiona Apple, because Fiona Apple, someone, by the way, so we recorded the Fiona Apple set. Fiona wanted to hear and see what she did before we put it out there. So those tapes will go in, those files.
Yeah.
Tapes.
Okay.
She has the files
now. I'll give her a ring.
She has the files now, and we hope that she likes them as much as we did, because I thought she just killed it, absolutely killed it. You know, I think a lot of fans and people who've seen her shows in the past think that she's fragile when she gets out on stage and you don't know what's going to happen. There's a screeching squeal of feedback at one moment, and you could just feel all the air go out of the audience. Everyone's like, what is going to happen?
Because
here?
It was a nightmare at Roseland that started, you know, this emotional thing for her where she couldn't continue doing a show because
paused.
The sound was so lousy.
Yeah.
That's why you.
Yeah, so she paused for a second. She smiled. It got under control, and she
people kind of cheered.
Yeah, and then and when she started again, people cheered like, "You got this."
Yeah, her voice is averted.
You've got it. Keep going.
Her voice is so strong.
Yeah. I just thought I had goosebumps watching her. I just thought she was absolutely amazing. She threw in a couple hit. You know, she threw in a Criminal and Sleep to Dream.
Yeah.
And
was she just stomped out?
I mean,
I loved the way
in a good way.
That's a good thing. Yes. But like the way her voice kind of radiated and boomed into the clouds a little bit. I mean, she really that the voice. You could almost see the waves of her voice kind of ringing over that crowd. It was really great.
The report from backstage was that before going on, she was pacing back and forth like a caged animal, and then when she took the stage, it was like she was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I hope we can put that up.
And then there's Dan Deacon.
I hope that you get to see everything we just talked about. And Dan Deacon.
He's my hero.
He's mine too. What artist starts a show by yelling out, "Does anyone have a quarter inch to mini cable?"
Complete with several languages.
Has he ever shown up for a show and had everything that he needed?
Dan said to me in our interview, because we'll cut this, the interviews we did in between the sets, we'll cut him, but he said, "Sometimes I wish that I would play with instruments that other people at major festivals used."
But I also liked the way that there were sort of these minor catastrophes that came up during his set. You know, he like didn't have the cable. He realized he was swearing on the radio. he commissioned audience members to dance, and then they were terrible. And so he had to get different ones. And it sort of, I liked the way that catastrophe was kind of wired into his sound. And so you really didn't know if these crazy kind of collagey bundles of sound were just going to suddenly just fly off into just chaos and noise and fall apart completely.
Totally the appeal of his shows. You feel like it's like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
You don't know where...
You're so glad to be on it, though.
Yeah. It's funny. You're like, is this... I wonder if there's one of those loops that goes upside down. Or, you know, is there going to be a drop off a sheer cliff? Or is it...
Yeah.
And then Alabama Shakes.
I've never seen him.
So soulful.
Yeah. I thought Brittany Howard's voice...
You talk about perfect. A voice that boomed over that crowd.
Yeah, but also, it wasn't just a shout. Like, a lot of singers who have the capacity to do what she does don't understand what it means to lose that power because they only use that. In other words, because of her range, because she got real quiet, the power of that loudness was that much more powerful.
I was taken with how commanding that band was. Like a very, very unbelievably proficient, tight live band.
Tight.
You'd think they'd been around together for, you know, for 30 years with how tightly in the pocket everybody was, but...
Well, they're high school buddies too, and I think that you see that in people who are friends, but you're right.
But to have kind of a young, up-and-coming band with that kind of tightness behind it, a lot of what we're seeing is kind of the embryonic stages of some of these bands' development where, like Sharon Van Etten, maybe in a few years they suddenly just come out, you know, with all this confidence, but they had that as early in their career as they are.
And a drummer with a monster backbeat. And it's something that in a lot of dance music, a lot of electronica, we lose that moment where you expect the drum hit to happen, and then it just happens a hair late, and it pulls you right into the music. Yeah. And I love that drummer. That drummer was killer. Yeah,
terrific band.
Yeah.
And then finally...
Yeah, Andrew Bird. I thought his new songs fit right in really well with all the old stuff, and Break It Yourself is becoming one of my favorite songs and a lovely album.
That's a beautiful record. I think that record is very much a headphone album and a little bit, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but a little bit on the sleepy side. It's a quiet record, it's a grower, and I was very curious to how that, the kind of subtle energy that record would translate live, and I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah, I did too. It was hard to follow the energy of Alabama Shakes. He doesn't aim in that direction at all. So you don't get that wild enthusiasm you see with a Dan Deacon or a but that doesn't take away from the experience people walk away with.
He is someone, as a musician, I watch him and see him as an artist, and I cannot help but think about how unbelievably difficult it is for him to do what he does, and he does it so effortlessly. The looping, I was trying to count in my head. I was thinking, all right, I was trying to keep track of the measures, how many bars he was counting off, and somehow he was keeping all of that in his head and thinking, all right, I know I laid down this whistle part, and I know in 16 bars that's going to come around again.
That's right.
And I'm going to whistle over that next part, whistle over it with a different part, and then when that comes around
it's
in 8
be
bars,
in harmony and...
then I'm going to sing over it, and I'm going to start playing the violin.
And it's only when you stop to think about the work that you notice how much work it was.
Yeah.
And he did a series of sort of improv shows at little venues, one of which was the Sixth and I Synagogue in Washington, where he did them on the fly, so they're not things he was familiar with because he was making them up as he goes along, and sometimes they completely fell apart, and it just shows how hard that is, even for someone who thinks the way he does.
Yeah,
it is.
I got the sense that the little piece that he opened up with was improvised.
Yeah,
he came out by himself, and it was just a couple minute little ditty, and then the band joined him.
With those big horns that spin and
created the illusion that he was like a giant fiddling horned demon.
I noticed that it did look like they were growing out of his head.
I didn't have that angle, but they have. But the sound comes out of it, and it moves, and it's got
beautiful.
This motion. This artist in Chicago
gives kind of a ghostly feel.
Yeah.
So what else? Quick, any quick hits? Any recommendations?
No.
No. Two quick recommendations before we go to bed. Sheikh Gamin. Some of them are from Montreal. Some of them are from Winnipeg. Very kind of throwbacky girl group soul music. Four women, all of whom can sing lead. All of whom have powerful voices. Took a couple of friends to see them, you know, who had never heard the name before, and were sort of my new, you know, were kind of like, that's my new favorite band.
Awesome.
So you know, that's always a lovely lovely feeling when you can connect people. That also, finally, for the first time in my life, saw Micah P. Hinson, who is who's this singer songwriter. He's, you know, he's probably in his mid 20s, but his voice is 1,000 years old, and just very, very, his voice just guts me. And I finally got to see like a full set this afternoon from him, and really felt, you know, I mean, I was already in love with his music, but it was gorgeous.
I saw this group Young Magic, who I liked a lot. They reminded me a little bit of Sleigh Bells without the drama, but but sound wise, really cool sounding band. So I recommend seeing them. I want to see. Actually, I think I'm going to go try to see more of them because I only saw two songs.
Nice. Young Magic's on my list for
awesome.
Sure.
I'll put them on mine.
So tomorrow, which is just hours from now, we're going to video webcast Bruce Springsteen's keynote address, and I'm really curious what he's going to say for an hour. I mean, what is he going to talk about? Is he going to talk about his own life and history? Is he going to talk about music and history? What is he going to do? Is he going to pick up the guitar?
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily have like a built-in one-hour speech that he gives.
Yeah, right.
He's used to playing songs, and I mean, obviously, you know,
this is outside his comfort zone, probably.
And you know, sometimes these keynote speakers will pick up an instrument, so we really have no idea what to expect.
And that is at 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 noon Central.
Right.
And then after that, at 1 o'clock, we go to the Parish. Our fifth year in a row at the Parish, and we open with La Vida Bohème.
Venezuelan sort of punky poppy band that I like a lot.
Yeah, terrific band. So, you know, a little bit of a curveball, you know.
And the curve after that is Sugar Tongue Slim, who's sure never seen La Vida Bohème.
Congratulations on getting that out. I thought you're gonna, it's like she sells, but it's seashore, sugar.
And Bob, you'll be announcing between sets, so we expect you to say Sugar Tongue Slim 400 times between
Sugar now. Tongue Slim at South by Southwest.
Oh my God. And after Sugar Tongue Slim is
Polisa,
which is a group from Minneapolis. Yes,
correct.
Headed by a really strong singer, good songs, double drummer.
A lot of the kind of Imogen Heap style, like vocodered,
which was
like heavily doctored,
which
vocals.
Is what didn't attract me to the record. Got exhausting for me hearing the record. Didn't happen. I didn't hear any of that effect on her voice live.
Interesting.
Which I thought was their sound.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by that.
Nice. And two drummers.
And a bass player that had the most awesome fuzz bass. I didn't see them. I was at a place where I couldn't see them, but I could only hear them. And I thought, what is that sound? Synthesizer, guitar? And it's the bass player, who later was also the guitar player. But
nice.
Man, really kind of cool thing.
And then Lower Dens.
Lower Dens are coming out. And they have a new record, and they're going to do a bunch from the new record.
A nice deep drone
kind
behind
of a,
it.
Yeah, just kind of a pulsating quality. That may be another band. We may be talking this time tomorrow night about how far that band has come along.
They're fantastic live.
I mean, they were terrific.
Even CMJ a year ago, they were amazing.
And then our headliner at our day party tomorrow is Magnetic Fields.
Yeah.
Is it their first ever South by Southwest appearance?
Yes, that's what I'm told. And my first time I'll ever see them.
I've never seen them.
Yeah. They're a band that's been around a long time, but actually they do not play very much.
And they're part of all of our vocabularies. I think every one of us are dearly in love with their humor. And
and this new album that they put out, this Love at the Bottom of the Sea, which is a lot of like these sort of...
Even the name.
I know. These sort of sweet little kind of marginal but witty little two-minute songs.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see how that
I think I characterize the music you listen to as songs about love at the bottom of the sea. Love at rock bottom.
That's right.
So more to come tomorrow, and 12 Central, 1 Eastern for the Mr. Springsteen.
Yep. npr.org/sxsw. Talk about your tongue twisters. I can say Sugar Tongue Slim till the cows come home, but SXSW is hard to say.
Try it at home, folks. Good night, everybody.
Good night.